Penggaran. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudiraye. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Devaya. Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Chim Pravivesham Gatapurva Mahatmabihi Hridi Brahma Param Dhyayam Tayato Gataha. Shri Shri Radha Kunjavihari Shri Shri Gaunita Ki Jaya. Udichim Pravivesham Gatapurvam Mahatmabihi Hridi Brahma Param Dhyayan Navarteta Yato Gataha. Udichim Pravivesham Gatapurvam Mahatmabihi Hridi Brahma Param Dhyayan Navarteta Yato Gataha. The northern side. Pravivesha Asham. Those who wanted to Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Acharya Prabhupada ki. He then started towards the north, treading the path accepted by his forefathers and great men to devote himself completely to the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he lived in that way. Wherever he went. Purport. It is understood from this verse that Maharaj Yudhishthir followed in the footsteps of his forefathers and the great devotees of the Lord. We have discussed many times before that the system of Varnashrama Dharma, as it was strictly followed by the inhabitants of the world, specifically by those who inhabited the Aryavarta province of the world, emphasizes the importance of leaving all household connections at a certain stage of life. The training and education was so imparted, and thus a respectable person like Maharaj Yudhishthir had to leave all family connection for self-realization and going back to Godhead. No king or respectable gentleman would continue family life till the end, because that was considered suicidal and against the interest of the perfection of human life. In order to be free from all family encumbrances and devote oneself 100% in the devotional service of Lord Krishna, this system is always recommended for everyone because it is a path of authority. The Lord instructs in Bhagavad Gita that one must become a devotee of the Lord at least at the last stage of one's life, 18.62. A sincere soul of the Lord, like Maharaj Yudhishthir, must abide by his instruction of the Lord for his own interest. The specific words Brahma Param indicate Lord Sri Krishna. This is corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita 10.13 by Arjuna, with reference to great authorities like Asita, Devala, Narada and Vyas. Thus, Maharaj Yudhishthir, while leaving home for the north, constantly remembered Lord Sri Krishna within himself, following in the footsteps of his forefathers as well as the great devotees of all times. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhu Unmelitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Karamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vidamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahabhadanjaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantarada Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Sirade Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare So we are discussing from this chapter, Pandavas retire timely, in the last few verses on how the Pandavas retired. So we have with us His Grace Jagadguru Prabhu from the Detroit Temple, Tata Temple President, Prabhuji himself, and also there are many active devotees of ISKCON in the Western world who, with their wives and families, have become fully devoted, taking the mission of Srila Prabhupada, preaching and propagating it, both in the West and also in other parts of the world. So he is a much better person to speak on this subject. And I was asking whether he would like to speak today. So Prabhuji said, you speak today, I'll speak tomorrow. So with Prabhuji's blessings, I would like to say a few words on this topic today. But Prabhuji would be able to throw a better light on this theme because he himself is a practicing devotee. In the way that Prabhupada is writing in his purports, this is unheard of, especially in the modern times in India. In India, generally, no ordinary average household family can think of retiring from the household life and taking spiritual life as a singular goal and doing it wholeheartedly with no other kind of obligations. This is very rare in India, even today. Although India is very famous for Varnashram Dharma since time immemorial, and although this culture has been there in India since the ages, just one thought crossed my mind when I first heard about how the preaching at London took place. How Malati Mataji had a small daughter, Saraswati, and with her husband Shyam Sundar Prabhu and two other families. They were going in London on the order of Prabhupada and preaching in London, living in shacks. And although they had a small child, small baby, still they didn't know tomorrow where are we going to live, what food will we get, and they didn't have much money. But their mission for which they were standing, Prabhupada's mission, they were holding on to it. They were very boldly preaching. So I was thinking, in India, can you imagine any in-law, mother-in-law will allow her daughter-in-law to preach like that, who is having a small baby, having a child of 3-4 years old, or will the husband allow a woman to preach in India? Or will the husband, even if he keeps the wife at home, will he preach? It's a challenge. This has been made possible only because of Prabhupada's missionary spirit. The preaching zeal that Prabhupada gave them, they had such a strength. And that too, they are not born in India. They are born in the West. So for them, Sanatana Dharma is a religion which has come from the East. So they have embraced it so tightly that they were ready to lay down their life. That kind of mood of renunciation, that's what Lord Krishna speaks in the 6th chapter, 1st verse. Anashita karma phalam karyam karma karotiyah sasanyasi cha yogi cha naniragnir nachakriyah. So he's saying that person is the real sannyasi. Whether that person is having the body of a female or a body of a male, whether the person is a householder or a brahmachari or a sannyasi or vanaprastha, whatever be that person. If that spirit of renunciation is there in the heart of the person for the sake of glorification of the Lord, that is real renunciation, Lord Krishna says. Not a person who superficially renounces everything of this world so that he can be lazy, he can eat and sleep and become a parasite on the society. That is a naniragnana chakriyaha, he says. Not a person who is not active. So, once when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, there was a complaint which came that lot of householders, families and children, they are all coming and staying in the guest houses and occupying the places, and they don't come for the morning program. They are not attending the morning program. But they want to roam about in Vrindavan, and they come at the time of prasadam, and they are living in the property like that, and that is affecting and influencing the atmosphere. So Prabhupada was speaking something I would like to read out as it is. What Prabhupada says here. During today's massage, Prabhupada talked more about the householders and women and children who are being attracted to come and stay in Vrindavan. He stressed the purity of living in Vrindavan, that Vrindavan is meant for renunciation and not for increasing our material propensities. He said that actually Vrindavan is not meant for householders. It is for the sannyasis, brahmacharis and vanaprasthas, he said. It is meant for retirement from material activity. It is not an ordinary place. But they are coming and thinking, oh, Vrindavan is so nice. And simply eating and having sex. Actually, all sex life is a great offense in Vrindavan. It is not a place for increasing the family. Even so, if they do come, they must work. Not that the sannyasis go out and beg and support the householders. This is very wrong. Householders means that he must work. He must work harder than others to earn a livelihood and give at least 50% to the temple also. So this was for Vrindavan. We can take the principle anywhere in the world where we want to establish temples as per the desire of Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada's desire was that our temples should not be like tourist resorts where people come with husband, wife, children and they are playing badminton, or sometimes you see them playing some volleyball and they are reading the newspaper, they are reading cinema magazines, they are going to the Govinda restaurant and eating food and not dressed properly. They don't know any etiquettes, they don't know how to respect sadhus or elders or other men, man-woman freely mixing. Prabhupada did not want that. And Prabhupada wanted the temples to be like places where people come for renunciation. So he says the temples are meant for brahmacharis, sannyasis and vanaprasthas, he says. So vanaprasthas also include those householders who are living the life in a spirit of renunciation. They are also included in that. Vanaprastha doesn't mean that you should have attained the age of 50. Otherwise you cannot become vanaprastha. There are so many young couple grihasthas who come to temple only for the sake of service. So we can see Prabhupada's statement is very crystal clear. Why he established these temples. So here we are hearing about Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas. They were all taking the retirement. Srila Prabhupada's purports are very revealing, and many times Prabhupada's compassion and Prabhupada's desire to offer guidance to his disciples is seen through his purports. One such series of purports comes in the Prithu Maharaja's section where we find Prabhupada giving clear-cut instructions about vanaprastha life. So, in different sections of purports of Prabhupada, different instructions are there. For example, if some sannyasis are falling down, you can see from Gajendra Moksha prayer, there is a verse where Prabhupada writes in the purport about what ashram one should accept. He writes there. If one wants to know the nature of woman or what is the what behavior is appropriate for a woman, read in the first canto, there is a shyness purport. Purport on shyness when Krishna leaves Hastinapur and enters Dwaraka. In those chapters. So like this you find Prabhupada giving instructions as if it looks Prabhupada is speaking to you directly. So here, in Prithu Maharaj going back home, back to Godhead, Prabhupada gives purports also, which is very relevant for those who want to accept the vanaprastha order of life and dedicate themselves more. Here Prabhupada comes up with many interesting lessons. One of the first lessons he says, Maharaj Prithu, he was a Shaktyavesh avatar, incarnation of the Lord. But although he was a Shaktyavesh avatar, he did not have any need to accept vanaprastha order. Still he accepted to set an example. He says that. To set an example for the other people in society. So he also accepted vanaprastha order. And Maharaj Prithu was very chivalrous and very famous for subduing Mother Earth because she was not producing all the grains and everything. So Maharaj Prithu is famous for that. So he ruled the kingdom very courageously. At the same time, he was not only a hero while ruling, he was also a hero in renouncing also. Prabhupada says he very happily renounced without any remorse or without any attachments. You see how Maharaj Prithu renounced the world, you see. When Maharaj Prithu saw himself getting old, that great soul who was the king of the world, divided whatever opulence he had accumulated amongst all kinds of living entities, moving and non-moving. He arranged pensions for everyone according to religious principles. And after executing the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in complete coordination with him, he dedicated his sons unto the earth. Which means he gave his sons to rule over the earth, different sections of the earth. And the earth he considered to be his own daughter. Then Maharaj Prithu left the presence of his citizens, who were almost lamenting and crying from feeling separation from the king. And Prithu went to the forest alone with his wife to perform austerities. You may wonder, what is this? He went to forest alone, but it says with his wife. It's like a paradox. And then Prabhupada explains, what is the meaning of alone with his wife? Actually, one should go to forest alone only. But because wife is half of a husband's body, like Lord Shiva is called as Ardhanarishwar. Ardhanarishwar means half of his body is Parvati and half of his body is Shiva. Similar, husband and wife are one unit. So they are going together for the performance of austerities and penances is actually called as going alone only. But the purpose is well understood. The purpose of leaving all these things and going to forest is only for spiritual practice and nothing else. See, Prabhupada writes in the purport, one should not simply remain at home until the time of death, but should separate from family life at a timely moment and prepare himself to go back to Godhead. So it is understood, according to Vedic life, that the jiva, the soul, for many, many lifetimes has been carrying a subtle body flavored with different types of mentalities of enjoyment. So any common man in the Vedic life knows that I have done a lot of karmas in the past and I am reaping the fruits now. And when they age beyond 50, then they realize now it's time now. Now it is a time when body starts dwindling. So they prepare for the next life. So that is why Prabhupada says in one of the previous purports we read that at least one should devote 20 years of one's life, either in the early part or later part or some part of life, fully for the sake of self-improvement with respect to attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After retiring from family life, Maharaj Prithu strictly followed the regulations of retired life and underwent severe austerities in the forest. He engaged in these activities as seriously as he had formerly engaged in leading the government and conquering everyone. So here is interesting to see that for a person who is very attached to the material world, the activities of renunciation and the activities of vanaprastha order may not be very pleasing. If you read the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj's section, there you find there are instructions given for vanaprastha order. Vanaprastha ashram is for severe austerities. Brahmacharya ashram is for swadhyay. So swadhyaya is self-study, but vanaprastha ashram is meant for detachment and renunciation. So very severe instructions are given there. And why are those instructions given for such renunciation? That we will be seeing in the subsequent verses. That the mind and the senses, the mind and the senses being filled with desire for fruitive mentality, if they have to be purified, then severe austerities have to be performed for them. That will be explained, how Prithu Maharaj performed severe penances to nullify the ill effects of the fruitive mentality, which is considered a mala. That is the verse which comes later. See, this is a later verse which comes. Tena krama anusiddhena dvasta karma mala ashayah pranayamaihi sanniruddha shadvarga chinna bandhanah. It says, different types of austerities were performed by Prithu. Krama anu means on a regulated basis he performed. Why? in order to make his spiritual life steady. Generally, one is not steady in spiritual life in the early stages. All of us can ask ourselves, in the early days when we were chanting, one round, two rounds, often our superiors would ask us, how many rounds are you chanting? We would often say that, no, I don't chant regularly, but sometimes I chant. Isn't that's how everyone begins. You chant one round, whenever you are pushed, you chant one or two rounds. And nobody asks you to keep quiet, don't chant. Correct? And then after some time, you come to two rounds, four rounds, and it is zigzag. Sometimes, suddenly you get a devout fervor and you chant 16 rounds on a Ekadashi day. And other days you chant four rounds. So initially there is no steadiness in spiritual life. But by accepting the austerities and regularly following them in a regulated way, then one attains steadiness. Then he says, dvasta karma mala ashayha. Dvasta means smash. All the fruity mentality is smashed to dust. Mala ashayha. All the desires. Ashaya means desires. Mala means impure. Mala ashaya means impure desires. Impure mentalities are all smashed by austerities. Pranayama is sannirdaha. Pranayama is the breathing process, controlling the breathing process. If the prana is controlled, then what happens? Shadvarga chinna bandhanaha. Shadvarga is the mind and the five senses. The shabda, rasa, sparsha, rupa, gandha. These five propensities we have for enjoying. All are headed by the mind. All of them, what happens? Shadvarga chinna bandhanaha. All the bondage is cut to pieces by performing pranayama. So pranayama controls the mind. It has a direct effect on the mind. If you do the breathing process. Nowadays many people do little pranayama, they do. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, some people do. Actually pranayama people would do for hours sometimes. If you see the Ashtanga yogis, they do pranayama for hours. And over a period of time, the breathing becomes regulated. And in a regulated breathing process, the mind becomes subdued and calmed. Because the diseases in the body come because of imbalance in prana. That's the main reason. But by pranayama, the prana is balanced and one gains control over the senses, control over the mind, control over one's actions. And in this way, one can utilize the free will for the purpose of surrendering to God. That is the whole idea. Prabhupada is saying, nowadays, many people control the breathing process and do yogasanas and all, what for? To keep the body fit. Like, see, this Ramdev Baba is teaching all over the world and going on television and going country to country. All people are breathing with their stomach, and everyone has become a self-made yogi now. And they're all practicing at their own homes. But if you ask them why are they practicing, they say, you know, I have constipation or something. You know, they want to have a healthy body to cure some diseases. Somebody has a back pain problem, somebody has a knee joint problem, somebody has stomach problem. Such a silly thing. So pranayama is actually not meant for that at all. Pranayama is supposed to bring the mind under control, senses under control, and with a controlled mind and senses, one can regulate spiritual activities. And then in this way, one can aim at the spiritual world. So, in this way, it is explained, Prithu Maharaj underwent severe austerities in the forest after renouncing. So I was telling how people generally are not fond of austerities and penances. And our mind always wants to take an easy way out. That is why Prabhupada was condemning, like here you see, there is one more, Giriraj Swami in Bombay having an interview with Prabhupada. So he is asking Prabhupada about retirement. Prabhupada, should everyone become retired? So Prabhupada is saying, they should understand what is retirement. Retirement doesn't mean retiring from all activity and becoming lazy. That is not retirement. Prabhupada's retirement means retirement from material life. But one should become active spiritually. All the busy, active material life should stop and it should become busy, active spiritual life. And Prabhupada said, see my own example, Prabhupada said. How when I retired from material life and started actively preaching Krishna consciousness and coming to the West, how I became more and more active This is actual retirement, Prabhupada says. If you want, I'll read out exactly what Prabhupada says to Giriraj Swami. After breakfast, Giriraj Prabhu discussed with Prabhupada the requirements for men who desire to live with ISKCON after they retire. Oh, this is people after... Some people say that now I am 60 or 70 years old, now I have retired now. So can I come and stay in your temple? People ask, no? So Prabhupada is giving an answer. That's why we should read these things. Because if we read these things, we will know what policies we should make for our temples also. Simply we can learn from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, the main thing is that they may not live with their wife and they must attend our programs. Two conditions. One thing is, somebody says that we want to join Vanaprastha, first condition Prabhupada says, they have to live separately. So, in Prabhupada's time, what Prabhupada had done, he had given instruction to many of the presidents that Mataji's room should be separate, Prabhuji's room should be separate. Even if husband and wife come together, husband lives with men and Mataji lives with women, and then they both are active in service. But if we give a common room where husband, wife, children, and their grandmother, grandfather all can live together, then they all live together and they don't get to do service. Because there is a lot of things to discuss. What about uncle and what about aunt? That family, this problem, that problem. Put them all together, problem. That's what he's saying here. Prabhupada said, the main thing is that they may not live with their wife. Prabhupada is very intelligent, you know. And they must attend our program. That is another condition. Yes, you can be a vanaprastha. What is the condition? They have to attend the morning programs. Otherwise, they cannot live in the temple. Actually, by Krishna's mercy, from the early days when I made some policies for the boys also, somehow or other I stuck to this. Like some boys would take up a job, in a company which has a shift job, you know. So the boys would say, Prabhuji, I am going in the afternoon 3 o'clock, coming at 11:30 in the night. So morning, can I miss the morning program and come directly for Bhagavatam? Somehow or other, I didn't allow them. I told that if you have shift, you cannot join our youth group to stay here. You have to stay outside. You stay at your own apartment. And prasadam will be only for those who are attending the whole morning program. We had made a rule. Then you take prasadam from somebody else. We made the rule. So here you can see, Prabhupada has made the morning program compulsory. This is very, very vital. And this is for everyone. In Prabhupada's time, brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyasi, grihasthas, life number collectors, everyone should attend the morning program without compromise. Retirement does not mean everything nil. It means to retire from material life to increase spiritual life. He offered his own example of becoming more and more active in preaching work after his retirement. So anyone who wishes to come and live with us must live in the same way. It is not for becoming lazy, he's saying. So let's see what Prithu Maharaj did. After retiring from family life, Maharaj Prithu strictly followed the regulations of retired life and underwent severe austerities in the forest. He engaged in these activities as seriously as he had formerly engaged in leading the government and conquering everyone. Very enthusiastically he did. One thing is, if a person is sincere, then the austerities of Krishna consciousness will be very pleasing to perform. For example, chanting the holy names. We know that this is the only shelter by which we can attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Then why not do it willingly, blissfully? Why to do it reluctantly, grudgingly? Why to try to escape from it? You cannot escape anyway. Even like a woman who is pregnant, she only has to beget the child. Nobody else can beget for her. Already the child is going to come at the right time. So there may be some pain involved in the austerities, but if one accepts that pain as an opportunity given by Krishna for service, then seeing that mental disposition of the practicing devotee, Krishna will offer more mercy and blessings. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you are walking in the holy dham, sometimes you may come across pebbles or thorns, which may prick your feet. So he says that the pain caused by the pricking of the thorns or the pebbles, it is far more blissful than the ananda experienced by a jnani in the Brahma Jyoti. he says. It's like the thorn kissing your feet in Vrindavan. So he feels blissful because he says that everything in Vrindavan is, you know, has a connection, is a tadiya of Krishna. Connection to Krishna is there. So because of his connection to Krishna, he feels the great bliss. So the austerity should be accepted in the same spirit. That's why you find here Prithu Maharaj so blissful and enthusiastic in performing the austerities without, you know, doing them reluctantly. Like, you know, when you take a view from a materialistic point of view, from materialistic perception, Prithu Maharaj ruling the kingdom, being, you know, holding the scepter, you know, ruling the whole world and all people saluting him, worshipping him, showering flowers on him, bowing down to him, and traveling on elephant, traveling on chariots. So a materialist may like this life very much, because it appears to be a life which is a flourishing life, prosperous life. On the other hand, Prithu Maharaj leaving all the citizens crying, lamenting citizens behind and going to forest. You know, any modern materialist you ask, they will say, why should one do that? They would consider it a degradation, or they would consider it not progress, because they are on the bodily platform. They just don't know. But Prithu Maharaj, you can see, because he can clearly understand the Atma Tattvam, he is very happily accepting the Vanaprastha order, going to forest at the right time, when the time comes, and performing those activities as enthusiastically as he would do.
Oh. इसके नीचे क्यों को आप सबके समक्ष इन चार दिवस में प्रस्तुत करने का प्रयास कर रहे हैं, तो इसमें हमारा निजी कोई योगदान नहीं। जो भी है श्री प्रभुपाद का ही महाप्रसाद समझकर हम आपके समक्ष वितरित करने का प्रयास करेंगे।